Good afternoon. I'm going to be presenting results from the National Nursing Home Survey 2004. I know that sounds pretty old, but that's the last time it's been done. And the focus is looking at standing order programs. Are they associated with increased receipt of the vaccine, influenza vaccine? Use of standing orders for vaccination in long-term care facilities have been positively associated with receiving the influenza vaccine. And also, standing order programs are recommended by the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, as well as the Task Force for Community Preventive Services. And what standing order programs are is they allow a vaccine to be administered according to a protocol without a physician needing to give verbal or written order prior to administrating the vaccine. And how that really works is it reduces the burden on doctors, therefore, thereby it increases the efficiency in the nursing home as well as reducing any missed opportunities. Of course, that said, several years ago, some folks at the CDC collaborated with the Center for Medicare Medicaid Services, and we did a large intervention study to facilitate the adoption of standing orders in nursing homes. And what happened was, unbeknownst to us, in some of the control states, other aggressive vaccination programs were going on, and so we didn't find a strong association with standing orders and receipt of the vaccine because of these other programs in the control states that kind of biased our results towards the null, or we didn't find a strong association. So at that time, we added some questions about vaccination policies to the National Nursing Home Survey. And so the objective of this analysis is to see, using data from a national survey, to see if standing order programs in long-term care facilities are indeed associated with increased influenza vaccination coverage among their residents. And as I mentioned, this is the National Nursing Home Survey, and it's a two-stage cross-sectional sample survey of nursing homes. And just what that means is that the first stage, they get a sample of all the nursing homes in the United States, which they want to be representative of the U.S. And then the second stage, they get a sample of nursing home residents within those nursing homes. And they sample up to about 12 residents per home. And what they did was the National Center for Health Statistics in Maryland actually conducts this survey, and they actually go out to all the nursing homes and interview them. And so this was done in August 2004 through January 2005, which if some of you remember, that was kind of when the Chiron whole thing happened and there was a delay in vaccination that year. But they interviewed with the staff, and the staff always use medical records. They try to always have everything to be medical documentation, not self-report. So our study population was close to 12,000 nursing home residents aged 65 years and older, and they were randomly sampled from about 1,150 long-term care facilities. And again, as I mentioned, my objective was to look at our standing orders associated with vaccination coverage. So this is really, I used an epidemiological approach. So the main exposure I'm looking at was this question on the survey: which vaccination program best describes what is being used in your facility for an influenza vaccine? And so the main answer I was interested in was facility-wide standing orders. And some of the other programs that they mentioned were things like pre-printed admission orders, advanced physician and nurse practitioner orders for all of their patients, which is sort of like standing orders, only it's just for that physician's patients. In other words, nursing home residents have their own physicians, but say like two of the residents in that home have the same doctor, that doctor might have always have standing orders for their residents for their patients. And then other things like just personal physician order for each resident, that's kind of the standard order of care. And then unknown was very few, I think less than 2%. And then the main outcome measure was vaccination status. And for that, it had to be documented in their medical record. And I used a logistic regression to analyze this, and we used Sudan to account for the complex survey design. And I'm going to present predicted margins, and I don't know if you all are all familiar with that, but it's really just an adjusted probability of vaccination. I think that's easier to understand than odds and odds ratios. So when I'm comparing, and if I give a p-value, it's really looking at the probability of being vaccinated in one group versus another group. Or being vaccinated, yes. I'm not looking at the no's and unknowns. And then when I say I'm adjusting for confounding, what that means is, you know, my research question is to look, do standing orders really drive higher vaccination coverage? And if a variable is really strongly associated with using standing orders and also getting the vaccine, and I don't control for it or hold it constant, that can distort my findings. So variables I found to be associated with both standing orders and getting the flu shot include things like region, race, sex of the resident, the ownership type of the facility, like if it's profit or nonprofit or government, and then if it's affiliated with a chain, and if the resident ever got the pneumococcal vaccine, and then also the proportion of residents on Medicaid in the facility. And that may seem kind of weird to you, but actually, more whites were in homes with standing orders, more males were in homes with standing orders, and whites are more likely to get vaccinated, and men are less likely to get vaccinated. So things like that is why I control for those. And actually, the overall response rate was 78%, which was really good. And so now I'll just give some descriptive results. As I said, the main exposure question I was interested in was vaccination program. And what we found was about 41% of residents lived in homes that had standing orders. And among them, 67.5% were vaccinated. And that's the unadjusted. And among the about 60% of residents who lived in homes that didn't have standing orders, 61.1% were vaccinated unadjusted. And just looking at overall vaccination coverage in the population, about 63.7% were vaccinated, about 18% were not vaccinated, and almost 19% had unknown status. But when we looked at census data a year later, I found using Center for Medicare Services data, we found almost identical vaccination coverage, and only 3% had unknown status. So we think probably most of the unknowns are unvaccinated. And just to describe the population a little bit, gender, as you can see, about 75% of residents are female, and they're more likely to be vaccinated than males. About 84% are white, about 11% are black, and about 5% are other. And you can see there's a big difference in vaccination coverage between white and black residents. These are non-Hispanic, about 9 percentage point gap. And for as age, you can see there's an increasing vaccination coverage. Right? The older the resident, the more likely they are to get vaccinated. About half of the residents are 85 years of age and older. Receipt of the pneumococcal vaccine, about 46% of residents had ever gotten the PPV vaccine. That's also indicated for just living in nursing homes. And among them, almost 85% got the influenza vaccine. Now looking at region, this is actually interesting. There's about 15,000 nursing homes in the country, and the vast majority, about two-thirds, are either in the Midwest or the South. But you can see here the vaccination coverage, it's not very different between the regions. Midwest has the highest, and West has a little bit lower, at 62%. 60% of all residents live in homes that are for-profit, and those tend to have the worst quality of care. In fact, in this data, I looked at who had the longest waiting list to get in, and actually the nonprofit homes definitely did. And you can see vaccination coverage is much lower in the for-profit homes compared to the government homes, and much higher. And then the next variable is proportion residents on Medicaid. Medicaid tends to be an indicator of poverty, but for vaccination coverage, they tend to have the homes that have the most residents on Medicaid have the highest vaccination coverage. And that could be due to a function of length of stay. I know that we found in another study, residents in homes that are certified for Medicaid only had much higher vaccination coverage, but those tend to be long stay residents, and they tend to have higher coverage. So now I'm moving on to the multivariable model. This is where I actually wanted to look at standing orders adjusting for all those confounders. And what I found was coverage didn't change a whole lot. In fact, coverage for the residents of standing orders, now their adjusted probability of vaccination is about 66.7% compared to those in homes without standing orders. at 61.7, so there's about a 5 percentage point gap, but still statistically significant. And then you can tell race was a strong confounder. It's still highly significant, but ownership is no longer significant. Region is funny. I really looked into this. You can tell the Northeast really dropped, and there were significant differences between the regions, but when I looked into this, I found that a lot of the other factors associated with vaccination were just also happened to be more likely to be in the Northeast, other things among about those residents, and that's why the Northeast dropped, because the coverage was really being explained away, the other factors were stronger. It's just that they lived in the Northeast. And then proportion on Medicaid stayed significant. Centralized tracking for vaccination rates wasn't significant. I included that because it can be an artifact of better documentation. Affiliation with chain wasn't a strong confounder. Gender was, and receipt of the pneumococcal vaccine remained statistically significant. So really, a limitation of the study was that the way they ask in the National Nursing Home Survey for flu, you know, because they interview between August and January, they ask, did you get the flu shot in the last 12 months? So if they're interviewing you in August, you wouldn't have time to get the flu shot this season, so it would have been within the last season. So it kind of straddles two seasons, and there could be different issues, so that's a limitation. And also, we don't know the degree of implementation or completeness of the standing order program. In other words, like, say, you know, new residents come in during the fall, you know, or in vaccination season, and the standing orders can mean immediately as they're assessed, they get vaccinated. But what about the people who are in there the whole time? Do they have, like, seasonal vaccination campaigns? And they're like, what are they doing? You know, they may have standing orders, but how well are they implementing them? That could really vary between homes. And we didn't get that information here. And also, I don't know that I controlled for all the potential confounders that there could have been. We might not have collected all that information, so our estimates could be a little bit different. But in conclusion, we did find that residents in long-term care facilities with standing order programs did have higher probability of being vaccinated than residents of homes that didn't have them. and also, I didn't give the results, but when I looked at, I looked at the other programs besides standing orders, things like pre-printed admission orders, advance orders for physicians, they all had much lower coverage. Not, well, much, but at least 4 to 5 percentage point differences. So it definitely was if all the vaccination programs had the highest coverage. But more research needs to be done to understand what factors are influencing the effectiveness of standing orders. And also, in this study, we found there was only 40% of the residents lived in homes with standing orders. But this was done in 2004, and that might have increased since then, because in 2002, CMS lifted their, they kind of had this restriction where they wouldn't reimburse a nursing home for the influenza shot if they had standing orders. So they lifted that in 2002. So I'm thinking by now, you know, this study was 6 years ago, there might be a lot more nursing homes using standing orders. The barriers at the time of this included, you know, lack of awareness of standing orders, if they were effective. The institution may not want to adopt it, and also legal and liability concerns. In fact, I know that there are still like 7 states that have laws against standing orders. And another conclusion is that our confounders, most of them were pretty consistent with what was published in the literature at that time. And one final point, do I have time? I have another presentation Thursday, but one of the most interesting findings was I was looking at racial disparities in nursing homes. As you could tell, there was a 9 percentage point difference between non-Hispanic whites and blacks. And I found that of all the vaccination policies, standing orders had not only the highest vaccination coverage for both race groups, but also had the narrowest gap. Other policies had a narrow gap, but for standing orders, they really seemed to increase coverage for both race groups. It was interesting because some vaccination policies didn't do that. It would have increased for one, but not the other. So anyway, my last plug for standing orders. Thank you.